The night before Jesus died, he was with the disciples in the upper room, and they were celebrating the Passover holiday. The Passover holiday was all about remembering what the Lord had done by bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery. And the key event that released the Israelites was the 10th plague, the slaying of the firstborns. And the destroyer would come through the land of Egypt. He would go through the front door of the homes and slay the firstborn. And there was nothing that anyone could do to stop him except one thing, and that was to take a lamb, an unblemished lamb, and kill it, and put the blood on the doorposts of the home and on the lintel. And when the destroyer would come through the land, he would see the blood and continue on. In Exodus 12:13, the Lord says, "I will see the blood and pass over you." Pass over you. From that, we get the holiday of Passover. And in Matthew 26, Jesus is eating the Passover meal with his disciples. Verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." With those words, Jesus instituted a new practice, the practice known as the Lord's table. Please bow with me for a word of prayer. Precious Lord, as we look into your word, we do ask that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word. Give us tender hearts, tender toward Christ, repentant, and may we seek nothing more than to glorify you in what we say and what we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord's table is all about remembering Christ. Do this in remembrance of me. Just as Passover was about remembering deliverance from Egypt, so the Lord's table is about remembering deliverance from sin. And if you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we are so glad that you're here. But you should know that as the cup and the bread come by, let it pass without partaking. It is for those who know and love the Lord. I would like for us to just briefly observe four things before we do observe the Lord's table. Four facets about the Lord's table that contribute to God's plan of redemption. Four facets about the Lord's table. First, Jesus was human. Jesus was human. He said, "This bread represents my body. This cup represents my blood." Jesus had a body. He had blood. He drank from the fruit of the vine. He ate meals with his friends. He had blood coursing through his veins. He became one of us. Yet, he was unblemished. He was holy, separate from sin. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sin. He is the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. And in order for him to be a suitable sacrifice, he had to be fully human. And that brings us to a second facet of the Lord's table. Jesus gave his body and his blood as a sacrifice. Jesus gave his body and his blood as a sacrifice. Verse 28. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Hours after Jesus spoke these words, he would die. His blood would pour out. He died on a cross. But it's not enough that a man would die. Every man dies. It's not enough that a man would die on a cross. Many men have died on a cross. But this man died as a sacrifice for sins. He died for many. The many that are mentioned here are the very same many that are spoken of in Isaiah 53:11-12, where he says, he bore the sins of many. And again, my servant will justify many. Jesus Christ died on the cross as a substitutionary sacrifice for us. Hebrews 11:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. What a savior. What a sacrifice. A third facet of the Lord's table is this. Jesus inaugurated the new covenant by his blood. Verse 28. I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And actually, we'll back up to verse 28. Once again, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. The phrase there, the blood of the covenant, the new covenant. Luke and the Apostle Paul confirm for us that it's the new covenant in view. Paul says, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. The new covenant. The blood activated the covenant. Just as in the Old Testament, with the old covenant, the blood activated it. The blood of animals activated the old covenant, just as the blood of Jesus Christ activates the new covenant. Consider Hebrews 9, verse 16. Where a covenant or testament is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. Jesus initiated the new covenant by his blood. The illustration is this. Before a person dies, they have a will and testament. And that will is a promise. So the family knows who gets what. And when they die, that promise goes into effect. And the benefits soon follow. So it is with the new covenant. When Jesus died and shed his blood, it initiated the new covenant, and the benefits soon follow. And we are ministers of the new covenant. Not only was Jesus human, not only did he shed his blood as a sacrifice, not only did he inaugurate the new covenant, but fourth, he will commune with his people in the kingdom. Verse 29. I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The fruit of the vine is wine or grape juice. And he says, I will not drink. The negative is emphatic. There's no stronger way in the Greek language to negate a verb than what's done here. I will never again drink of this until I am in the kingdom, the Father's kingdom. The kingdom is the very same kingdom that we pray for when we pray the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer, Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. We pray for the kingdom to come because it has not come yet. The Father's kingdom is the Son's kingdom. The Father gives the kingdom to the Son. We read about that in Daniel 7 and Luke 19. The Father's kingdom is the Son's kingdom. And Jesus predicts a time when he will drink new wine with the apostles in the kingdom. Now, he says this a few hours before he dies. Think about the implications of that. That implies that Jesus will rise from the dead. It implies that the apostles will be resurrected from the dead to be with him in the kingdom and have glorified bodies. He says, I will drink new wine with you. Who are the you that he's talking about there? Well, he's talking to those around the table, the disciples or the apostles. Talk about a tremendous source of encouragement and hope for them once that sunk in, once they realized that he will not stay in the grave and that they too will be resurrected. But it's not just the apostles and the disciples who will commune with the Lord in his kingdom. It is all believers. In his high priestly prayer in John 17, Jesus said, I desire that those whom you have given to me would be with me where I am, that they may see my glory. All of us who are believers will be with the Lord and fellowship with him in his kingdom. What a phenomenal thought. Maybe some of you have loved ones who have died in Christ. And one day a time will come for us. What a word of hope and a word of comfort to know that we will fellowship with him in the kingdom. So as we partake of the Lord's table, remember Jesus. Remember that he was human. Remember that he gave his body and his blood as a substitutionary sacrifice for us. Remember that he activated the new covenant by his blood. And remember that one day we will fellowship with him in his kingdom. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful that we can join together now and partake of the Lord's table. We ask that we would do so in a worthy manner, having examined our hearts, sins confessed, knowing that you see all things, you know all things, you know our hearts. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, for the work on the cross, and for the reality of his future return. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Dr. Hassler. I can't think of a better way to introduce this Lord's table than what's been shared to us from the